This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our growing online community. We hope that you'll soon be able to join us on a Sunday morning, but in the meantime, you can text prayer request by texting the word prayer to 931-378-6778. And you can make a financial investment by texting any amount to 84321 or going to reallifesango.com/give. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Philippians chapter 1, that's page 980 in those black Bibles in your chairs, 980. And if you don't own a Bible, just take that as a gift, those black Bibles in the chairs that you're sitting in there, page 980, Philippians chapter 1. And Marvin Olasky has been the longtime editor of World Magazine. And Marvin just released a book called A Lament for a Father. He previously had written an article kind of along the same theme. And Marvin grew up in urban Massachusetts. And so there wasn't a lot of green space to go out and throw the ball. And his dad was like a graduate of Harvard. He went on into the military. And he experienced what a lot of our soldiers experience in the military. It's a great sacrifice that they make, but they see and experience some really, really difficult things. And they often come back changed. And Marvin's relationship with his dad was a difficult relationship. And he tells the story that he asked his dad, he was always asking his dad to come out and throw catch with him. And they had to do it in the street because there wasn't grass to go out and play catch. And so finally, one day, with great reluctance, Marvin's dad came out to throw catch with him. And his dad threw him a ground ball that he should have caught, and he missed it. And as he's running to go get the ground ball, he yells back to his dad, "You should have thrown it straight." And he picks up the ground ball, and he looks back, and his dad's going back into the house. And that was the only catch that he played with his dad. And maybe as you hear that story, it reminds you of your relationship with your dad, and it brings up a painful memory. Or maybe for you, it makes you thankful for your relationship with your dad because you had lots of time out in the yard playing catch. Or maybe you had a great relationship with your dad, not a strained relationship with your dad. After Marvin's dad passed, he wanted to know more about his dad. And so he began to dig into all kinds of historical records. He began to interview family members. And he began to allow his dad to leave a legacy that his dad never left for him. Fatherhood, it's a high calling, isn't it? The Bible has a lot to say about fathers. I think of the story of Abraham and Isaac, where God tells Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Crazy story. If you've never read it in the book of Genesis, go home and read it today. But what we learn about fatherhood and parenthood and family in that is that family is to take a second seat, a back seat to our allegiance to God. God calls a father to sacrifice his son. And if you know the story, you know that God stopped Abraham from sacrificing his son, and he provided a ram in the thicket. And he said, "Abraham, your faith is what I was looking for here. You're justified by your faith. But you prioritized me over your family," and that's probably one of the greatest idols of North America, isn't it? That we just idolize family over the Lord himself. The Bible has a lot to say about fatherhood. The Ten Commandments instruct us to honor our father and our mother. And just even hearing that this morning, if you had a painful relationship with your dad or a strained relationship with your dad, just even hearing that, something wells up in you and you resist that thought or that idea of honoring your parents because of perhaps the pain that you experienced from them. Or perhaps the Holy Spirit will let you see the goodness of the parents that you had and nudge you toward greater honor toward your parents today. And then we see in the scriptures that fathers, in the book of Ephesians, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but raise them up in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. The Bible has a lot to say about fatherhood and about family. If you're a dad here this morning, you could be a sad dad or a happy dad. You could be a present dad or an absent dad. You could be a hopeful dad or a disparaging dad. You could be a caring dad or a selfish dad. You could be a short-tempered dad or a patient dad. And I want to encourage you this morning, fathers, I want to encourage you with one verse. And if you're not a father here today, this isn't the time for you to check out and to say, okay, it's Father's Day, sermons for dads, I'm just going to check out and pull up my phone and text my friend or work on my grocery list or whatever. No, listen, everything that you hear about dads this morning, I want you to pray that dads at Real Life would embody this. I want you to pray that dads would live this out, that dads would receive this message in faith. As you hear this, I want you to be informed and understanding of how you can encourage dads here in our church family. So if you're not a dad, this message is for you. It informs us and shapes our prayers, and it shapes our encouragement and how we want to pray for and encourage dads. I think we all know the dramatic, deep, long-lasting impacts that dads have. So dads, I want to encourage you this morning. I want to give you one verse that I think you'll carry it with you for a long time. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This single verse is packed with promise. This single verse is packed with encouragement. I love this verse. It's probably one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Look at it with me. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So Paul's writing this to the church at Philippi, but God is saying it to this church and to us this morning. And he writes in verse 6, I am sure of this. Let me just pause there. Did you hear what he said? I'm sure of this. There's not much sure in life today, is it? There's so many things that you thought would be realities, that you thought would be long-lasting. There's so many things that you thought would come about in a particular kind of way, and it's all not unraveled the way you anticipated. Can you think about how uncertain life is? And then you hear this promise in the sacred scriptures, Paul saying, I am sure of this. I'm not uncertain. I'm not doubting. I'm not unwavering. I know this with confidence, without a doubt. I'm sure of this. What is he sure of? Look at it with me. That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. That he, that's God himself, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Now, what is this good work? Well, this good work is salvation and our sanctification and our glorification. It's this whole umbrella of salvation. It's God bringing about the spiritual new birth in our life and then growing us in his likeness. It's us being alienated from God and being an enemy of God, and by his Spirit becoming a child of God and becoming a friend of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, you must be reborn. So it's this spiritual birth. The good work that God has taught, that Paul's talking about, is this new birth and then this spiritual growth. In other words, when you become a Christian, it's just the starting gun of the race. It's not the end. It's not the arrival. It's only the beginning. When you begin a relationship with God by faith in Jesus, it's only the beginning. Now, many of you may have grown up thinking, like, I've got to somehow please God to be in a relationship with him. But our relationship with God is a gift that God gives us that we don't deserve. The Bible says it this way. We have been saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. In other words, if our relationship with God existed out of our own merit, we could go around bragging about how awesome we are. But that's not true for any of us. God saves us in his grace. God gives us salvation, forgiveness of our sins, and a relationship with him in his grace. He did it through the cross and through the resurrection of Jesus. Now he applies it by his Holy Spirit. It's a gift of grace. That's where the good work begins. And then, as Romans 8 tells us, Romans 8, 28 and 29, this is how the work continues. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Did you see that same word there in this verse that we find in Philippians 1? Good. I'm confident of this, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Our God is a good God, and he wants to bring about good things in our life. What is that good thing? It's tucked away in this verse. We see it right here. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be, here it is, conformed to the image of his son. So the good work that Paul's talking about in verse 6, fathers, is that you and I would be formed and shaped into the image of Jesus, that our character would become like Jesus, that we would increasingly become filled with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And Paul's saying this, I have no doubt, God is going to lead this process in your life, and he's going to complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. So God is the potter, we're the clay. God's shaping us, he's molding us, and when Jesus comes, he's going to complete that shaping and that molding process. What does that mean, dads? That means there's not a waking moment of your life that God is not working his good purpose in your life. So I just have three ideas that I want to leave you with today out of this verse. And the first one is just let God begin his good work in you. Some of you may be here today and you may not yet be a Christian. You may not be born again. You may not have turned your life over to Jesus. You may not have committed your life to Jesus. Maybe you've gone to church for a long time. Maybe you've read the Bible on and off. But in your heart, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. And so the message for you today is let God begin his good work in you. In other words, God may have been knocking on your heart's door, but you've not opened the door of your heart and said, Lord, come in. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I want to follow you. Life is all about you. And so if that's where you are today, whether you're a father or a child or a daughter or a spouse, if you've not yet let God begin his work in you, do it today. Now, it's kind of silly to word it in that way, let God, as though we're controlling him, right? But the way he's designed it, we have to receive him by faith. He convicts us of our sin, and by faith, we receive his forgiveness. We receive him into our life as our Lord and Savior. And I'm just willing to bet that there's somebody here today that you need to let God begin his good work in you. In other words, this promise is not yet true for you. God is not going to continue his work in you because you've not let him begin his work in you. So how do you do that? You open your heart. You say yes to the Lord. You say, Lord, I'm done living life on my own, like my own way. I want to live it your way. I'm done living life on my own strength. I want to live it in your strength. Do you see it? Let God begin his good work in you. And then when you do that, this promise begins to apply to you. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it at the day of Christ Jesus. So the second idea that I want to leave you with today is just simply this: cooperate with God's good work. Cooperate with God's good work. This is a great promise, isn't it? It's so encouraging for me as a dad, because there's so many days I feel like a failure as a dad, you guys. I'm serious. I feel like a pinball where I just go from I'm not doing enough as a dad to I'm an overbearing dad. I don't do enough as a dad to I'm an overbearing dad. I don't do enough as a dad, I'm an overbearing dad. And it's like I want that pinball to stop right in the middle. And I just want to be a good dad. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to be a uninterested workaholic, not dialed into my family, and I don't want to be an overbearing thumb on the kids, correcting everything they do. Like, I just want to be a good dad. You know what I mean? Any dads relate to that feeling of just feeling like a pinball? I don't do enough. I'm doing too much. Well, praise God that he's given us this promise that he who began a good work in us, he will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. So cooperate with the process. Cooperate with the Spirit. What does that mean? That means when you sense the Spirit of God saying something to you, you say yes. You cooperate. The Spirit nudges you toward an act of obedience, praying with your family, giving to the Lord at church, being more patient with your kids, and you say yes. And then you lose your temper when the Lord is saying be more patient, and you hit your knees and you say, God, only by your grace, forgive me and empower me to change into the likeness of Jesus. You see it? You cooperate with the process. You cooperate with the process. You cooperate with the process. God is so determined to bring about his good purpose in our life that he'll go to great lengths to get it done. In other words, when we're resisting the Lord, he will overcome our resistance. When we're hardening our heart to the Lord, he will overcome our hard heart. And sometimes he goes to great lengths, and he allows some really difficult trials in our life so that we will get on board with his purposes. Psalm 119, the psalmist says it this way: it was good for me to be afflicted so that I learned your decrees. You see that? It was good for me to have been afflicted. Why? Why would that be good? Here's why it's good. Because in our flesh, we are stubborn. In our flesh, we want to do our own thing. In our flesh, we want to just kind of sprinkle some Jesus in on Sunday morning and go do our own thing during the week rather than yielding to his lordship every day of the week. So cooperate with the process. Don't resist, because you're inviting affliction when you resist. And it's not because God's mad at you. It's because God is committed to his good purpose in our life. The Hebrews says that when he disciplines us, it's evidence of his love for us. It's evidence that we belong to him. It's not because God's put out with us and he's going to discipline us. Listen, he exhausted his wrath on Jesus on the cross so that we could get an unending waterfall of his love. So that even his corrective discipline that may feel painful, it's his love. It's an expression of his love and his care for us. It's like an earthly father disciplining his child so he doesn't run out in the street and he doesn't feed the dog 4 Snickers, you know? I gave the dog a burnt rib the other day. Last time I'll ever do that. Lastly, the last idea is just simply this: rest in God's promise. Rest in God's promise. Have you ever gone like on a vacation? Maybe you got an Airbnb and you laid down in the bed, and like that's the moment, right? Like that's the moment on whether or not this was a good idea or a bad idea, is when you lay down on the bed, right? Like it might be a fancy apartment, it might be a fancy condo, it might be a fancy whatever, but the real moment is when you lay down on the bed, right? Because it's either like hard as a rock and you love that or you hate that, or it's really soft and comfy and you're like, oh, I'm gonna get such a good night's sleep. But how many times have you said, it's so good to sleep in my own bed, right? Listen, dads, if you feel like a pinball like I do sometimes, if I don't do enough and I'm doing too much and I don't do enough and I don't do too, where can you find rest? Where can you find rest? Well, you're not going to find rest in your own efforts. You're not going to find rest in point 2, which is cooperate with this process. In other words, you're not going to find rest for your soul through the strength of your cooperation. You're going to find rest for your soul in the strength of God's promise. So we rest in his promise. And what's his promise? He is going to get his good work done in you. And there's nothing we can do to stop it. He's so committed to bringing it about. We might resist it. He might have to overcome our resistance. We might go kicking and screaming. He might have to hold us really tightly. It might be a painful process rather than a joyful, cooperating process. But be sure of this, Paul said. I am sure of this. No doubt in my mind that he who began a good work in you, he's going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful to complete it under the day of Christ Jesus. So we rest, not in our effort, not in thinking next year I'm going to be a better dad, because I'm going to try harder and I'm going to do better and I'm going to be smarter and I'm going to make more money and I'm going to, you know, be more patient and it's just me. No, listen, that's a hard mattress and you're not going to get any sleep on that mattress. Okay? You keep trusting in you and you're getting no rest for your soul. But if today you turn to the promise of God and you say, God, my hope for being a good dad is found in your promise, that you began this work in me, and you're not done with me yet, and you're going to keep doing this work in me, you'll find rest, dads. And that pinball will slow down a little bit. I'm sure of this. He who began a good work in me, he'll be faithful to complete it. You see it? You see it? I want to leave you just with a word of encouragement from a friend who loves real life, or maybe he doesn't, but either way, I just want to leave you with an encouragement. So I want to direct your attention to the screen this morning. Hopefully you're encouraged, dads.
Hello, this is Bo Jackson, and I would like to wish all of the dads at Real Life Church a happy Father's Day. I'd also like to let you know what a great job you all are doing, loving and leading you all's families. I pray that you all stay strong and keep it real. God bless you. Like I said before, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Talk to you later.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something fresh in your heart today. We hope to see you on a Sunday very soon. Keep it real, keep it Jesus.